I love how the Lord orchestrates things, because as I head into this message, it is just a continuation of the entire morning. And so he is just so good. He's just so good. So I'm going to pray. I pray because I get nervous and I need his presence with me. So Lord, I am just asking that you would continue to minister and move as you already have done. And Lord, I am just a willing vessel saying, please use me. Please fill my mouth with the words of you. Help me to convey accurately and with your presence and anointing the things that would be on your heart. And I just pray for open hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in January. It's the last Sunday of January. And first, I'll apologize if you were at Heart Sessions. This is going to be a repeat. When we got done there, they're like, that should be in the big service. So I told Kirk, I said, hey, just letting you know, I have this, you know, if you want, great. If not, that's fine. Like, it doesn't matter to me at all. He's like, send me the notes. So I sent him the notes. And he's like, oh, we'll probably use it later. And then this week, he's like, I think it's for this Sunday. And I said, okay, well, I'll get it all prepped and ready to go. So here we go. We're going to go for it. How do we begin? This is how we begin. I love it. How we begin 2024. And now I just want you to imagine now January 1st. Okay. On January 1st, there were probably two types of people. One of those was the one who, you know, woke up and they have their tablet and they've thought now for, you know, a few days or maybe a couple weeks, all of the resolutions, the plans, the intentions that they have for the week or for the year. You know, they're just, some of them probably color coded them. Some of them have categories, you know, like, okay, we got physical and spiritual and okay. And then there's others, and they're just like, what? Is this day any different than any other day? The clock went, the sun rose, it's just another day. And guys, there's no wrong, okay? Like, there's not a right or a wrong way at all. But it's just how we are. Well, I don't color code them, by the way, but I would tend to be a little more on the January, that first week, that first time is just a time for me where I kind of want to just reset. It's been a busy season usually around Christmas, and I just want to take the time to reset. And so I want to look ahead. I want to see what's before me and be like, all right, God, what are we doing together this year? Yeah. You know, I want to prepare. Like, if there's something that, you know, I need to like solidify in my life or learn, I kind of want to be doing that. I want to dream. You know, like, God, is there something where I feel a little stuck in that, like, I just haven't dreamed lately, you know? I want to realign. How many know that if you just get even just a little off of the pathway, the longer that you go and you're off the pathway, the further you are from the road you're supposed to be on, right? Starts out so little, but by the time it gets way off. And so it's just, I want to realign. I just want to make sure I'm present and central right where God wants me. And I want to take the time to just inquire of the Lord. Like God, I want to take the time to hear from you. So I love it, Family Life, that first week, Family Life Assembly of God, that first week in January, they have prayer that week. And I love going there and sneaking in, except you don't really sneak because, like, there's, you know, not usually a lot of, like, it's just, I don't know if you know this or not, but prayer meetings aren't usually super well attended. And so you don't necessarily sneak, but I love going because I can just be and I can just focus. And so it's such a beautiful time. So that was my beginning. And so as I was doing this, I kept hearing the phrase, and it's so silly because you're going, well, duh, but I kept hearing the phrase, it's all about Jesus. I'm like, okay, 2024. It's all about Jesus. Okay. Now, when I say 2024, a lot of other things may come to mind. Election year? Maybe it's, you know, something else is going on in your family, and so you're thinking about that. Maybe there's a graduate, maybe a wedding. Like there's lots of different things that a year can hold. Maybe it's a transition. Maybe you know that there's a change in your life coming, and so you're thinking about that, okay? But 2024, as I just sought the Lord, I just kept hearing him say, it's all about Jesus. And that's when, at that time, I ran across 1 Chronicles 22, and I'm going to give just a little bit of background because in order for you to know what this entire message is about, we need to know a little bit. Who's heard of King David before? Okay. All right. He wasn't always a king. He was a shepherd. He was a musician for King Saul. He was a warrior. Okay, he was a fleeing warrior. He was on the run from Saul for a while. But eventually, he was anointed king, even though he was not living in the reality of being a king, like with all of the, you know, temple and responsibilities and all that kind of thing. But he always, I loved it because even back in when he was being chosen, they looked at him and said, well, as Samuel was choosing him, they said, well, man looks at the heart. So even back then, there was something special about David that God saw that was his heart. His heart was for the Lord. In fact, later on it talks about David being a man after his own heart. And so as time had gone on, 1 Chronicles 22 comes around. There's been lots of stuff happening. I'm not going to go into it. But basically, they've, for the most part, kind of gotten into a time of peace for Israel. And he is now king. Okay? And so he had it on his heart to build a temple, a permanent structure for the Lord, a temple of magnificence. Up to this point, what was the temple? Do you guys know? It was tents, right? Because the Israelites were a people that were moving to the promised land. They were in motion. And so in order to have the presence of God with them, which was the Ark of the Covenant, that was the sign, symbol of the presence of God, they would have this tent. And they had specific people that carried it. They had very specific dimensions. They had specific ways that things were to be put up, in what order, how they do, where the people camped. You had certain people this side, certain people this side. You had different people that were taking care of the tent, okay? Taking care of everything. It was very specific. But it was a tent. How glorious is a tent? It's, I mean, no matter what you do to it, it's still a tent, okay? But David wanted to build something permanent. He wanted something that would house the presence of God, that would show or reveal just an ounce of the majesty that the Lord has, but in that time. And David wanted to make it all about the Lord. And so I've got a question here. Let's see if I can do this. We did it. Why did David want a temple for the Lord built? Why do you think? This is made as a Bible study, so then I would ask the question, and then you guys would answer back. Just checking, you know, in case you don't know. I can answer it if you'd like, but I think to honor the Lord, but more than anything, why would you want something permanent? A place where the presence of God always was. no question at all, that the presence of God would always be in the temple because of the Ark of the Covenant. It was an establishing of his presence. Okay? How important do you think the presence of God is in 2024? Extremely. I would say we cannot live without it. It is our breath in order for us to sustain. So one of the things that I love about this morning is my entire message is about the presence of God and how we live in the presence of God in 2024, because we need him like our very next breath. We need him like that drink of water that deer needs in order to survive. We need him. And if we think we don't, we are sadly in error. Where is the temple now? Yes. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? If you are a follower of Christ, you have received the Holy Spirit. You are a temple. You are housing the Spirit of God, which is incredible, by the way. So we're going to go back to this 1 Chronicles 22. If we believe that his presence is vital and needed in 2024, I believe we can look at God's instructions for building the temple in the Old Testament and learn a few things from the Old Testament and apply those for establishing his presence in this very moment. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success. Oh, just side note. My son, okay? The Lord said, hey, David, I love your heart. You can't build the temple. Okay? Just didn't mind this. So this is being said to his son Solomon, who was then going to be the one to build the temple. My son, the Lord be with you. May you have success and build the house of the Lord your God as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel so that you may keep the law of the Lord. If we are going to live in his presence in 2024, guys, we need to know the truth. We need to have understanding and discretion. I found Grandma Kathy had given Callie a devotional, and it's about these 40 names of God, and it's amazing. And we were going through it and reading a story, and it was talking about El Ameth, the God of truth. And so it had this little story in there. And it explained that if you're training someone to know the difference between something that is counterfeit and something that is real, there's a certain way to do that, which I did not know until I read the little story. And the way to do that is not to spend multiple hours and time and energy learning about every single type of counterfeit that is out there. What you do is you become completely familiar with the truth, the item that is correct, the one that is right, and you get to know everything about it. So that the moment that you see something that is not the same, you are able to recognize it. You spend all your time immersed in the truth so that you can recognize the lie. The Bible, this is a quote from that book. The Bible tells us what is real or true about himself, about people, and about the world. When we know and believe God's words, which are true, then we can also recognize words that aren't true because they're different. And we recognize that they're different. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Guys, I don't need to tell you that we live in a unique time when it's very difficult to know what is truth. Can I just put this out here? Do not believe what you see on Facebook. Now, I'm not going to go off on a rant, but do you understand that every photo can now be manipulated to be a lie? There is no, like you have to understand that anything that you see in that media can be a lie. And so it makes it even more important that in a time when things are digitally changing faster than what we can ever possibly keep up, we can't learn about all of the counterfeits. You would spend all your time just trying to like go through the information. Computers are having trouble doing that. We're meant to know the truth. To immerse ourselves in that so that we can easily recognize when something is wrong, when it's not true. And I love this. We will recognize the counterfeit, and the counterfeits promise something that they can't deliver. It's just a falseness. It says it's this, but it's not. But the word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. To the next one. Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Okay, this one gets a little sticky. We love this one. We've learned about the truth. We know what is true. Now what? We choose to obey the truth. It's our choice. The ball is in our court. And sometimes it's hard. Right? Okay. I mean, like, I'll hear something sometime, but if it's something I don't really want to do in my flesh, apologize for something I really don't. But it's why a daily surrender is important. It's why a daily choice to make Jesus Lord over my will is necessary. And it's also why I continually ask, I'm like, God, change my appetite and my desires. Because as those change, It honestly can become easier because I'm wanting and desiring different things. I don't have the scripture up there, but Psalm 119:34, give me understanding so that I might keep your law and obey it with all my heart. We all have a moment of decision. Will I speed? Will I not? Will I take the Twinkie or will I not? Will I wake up early and work out, or will I not? Will I forgive, or will I not? Will I say an encouraging word, or will I not? It's our choice. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. I would like to talk to John sometimes, right? Like sometimes they feel hard, but yet if we are captured by God's heart and we know what he has done, may it become our joy to live for him. Next one. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Who needs to hear that in 2024? Okay, I do. But why can we be strong? We can be strong and courageous because of the truth. Because we're not going to be sidelined by fear and discouragement. If we know the truth, and we know his promises, then when those things start coming up that want to discourage you, we can stand. We can say, no, That's not the way it is. I'm not going to fear because I know the truth of what God says. Being anchored in truth enables us to stand when all feels like shifting sand. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I love this one. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. A good word. Guys, we have the best word. We have the word that has been proven over a span of time. We have the word that is living and active. We have the word that is transforming lives even now, not just here, not just in South Dakota, but across the world. We have a good word. And so as I kept reading, we went just a little bit deeper. And there were a few more things. And Stephen touched on this already this morning. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. How do we live in his presence in 2024? Guys, we have to devote our heart. Devote our lives. Devote is actually the word natan in Hebrew, and it means to give, commit, consecrate, dedicate. There was a very long list of words there, but there was two words that really caught my attention, and it was pay wages. And that got me thinking, it is interesting that devote could mean pay wages because it denotes that devotion costs something. It costs us something. It's not a passing thought. It takes preeminence over other things, right? If we're going to devote our heart and lives to seeking the Lord, that means we're putting that in an important place. Guys, we're devoting our lives to things all the time. And I'm not going to hammer and say, well, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that or do that. What I am going to do is call you up and say, our lives need to be devoted because we need his presence like our next breath. I found it very interesting. We're on a youth thread. Steph you can use in youth groups ministry and Facebook, and they have the wildest things. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't imagine being a youth pastor doing those things. Like, they're wild. But every once in a while, they have a really good, helpful game, a really good, helpful suggestion, and someone will put, like, some big bomber of a question in there. And so someone put a big bomber of a question in there, and it was, why isn't Gen Z a part of the church in 2024? And it was very interesting to read the comments. I'm not saying that they're all right. I'm not saying they're all wrong. But the majority of the comments were, the parents of Gen Zers no longer felt it was super important for them to be in the presence of God. And so, other things took preeminence. And now there's a generation that feels that there's no reason to come into the doors of a church. Now, that's heavy. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily all right. Kirk and I have conversations about stuff like this all the time. There's a lot of different reasons for different things. I will say this. Our kids are precious. And if they are not being taught about the presence of God and who He is, don't expect them just to catch it. Don't just expect that just because you go sometimes that they're going to think it's important. And a challenge for us in the church is if they come through those doors, we better have something real to give them. May they encounter Jesus in a very real way, because anything less than that is just a form of godliness, and they shouldn't have it. Okay, that's it. If you want to know what gets my heart going, there's a few things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Guys, this word seek caught my attention when I was looking, because it was in the other verse as well. And then this one came, and so I looked it up. Do you know what it means? Say no. Okay, good. I'm excited because I'm going to tell you. It means to tread or frequent, to follow in pursuit of something. But here's my favorite part. It means to beat a path. It means to beat a path. God, are we beating a path to you? Are we coming time and time and time again so that there's a pathway to the Lord? You don't have to question it. You don't have to go through the weeds and the mire. You just look, there's my pathway to the Lord. And I have been on it so many times because I'm always seeking Him. It's always there. It's been, the weeds have gone to the side. I've maybe had to hurdle a few things. I've maybe had to overcome some things, but I'm going to seek the Lord, and it's going to be the same pathway because He's there. Does it make sense? Seeking the Lord is beating a path. It's going again and again and again and again. So my questions are, what is keeping us from devotion, honestly? And how can we devote our lives, make a pathway of seeking? I'm going to let you answer that. I'm going to tell you that joining with others is a great way. I'm going to tell you that putting a, most of us have phones with us all the time, so putting the Bible on there so that it's easily accessible with a notification that says, hey, read your Bible today. Those are ways. Doing your dishes and saying, this is a sacred place. And I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna talk to you, God, about the things on my heart or on the way into work. Guys, there's ways we can devote our lives. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God. Guys, we have to build. There's action. We can have all the stuff, but if it's just sitting there, nothing's happening. A sanctuary isn't being built. And so we need to build the sanctuary, and we need to build it individually in our hearts, making space for Him. We need to build it in our homes, and we need to build it here corporately. He must become greater. I must become less. How do we build the sanctuary individually? We become less. We say, we want you, Jesus. We make space. We make room for Him. How do we build it as a family in our homes? My people will live in a peaceful dwelling, in peaceful dwelling places, sorry, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Does that sound amazing? Guys, we can make our homes this. I love the story. Kirk always shares it. that when he was running from Jesus hard and being things that looked like anything but a God follower, he would long when he would go to his parents' house. And he would sit in there, and there was something about it that even in the state he was in, he could recognize the peace of God. Our homes can be a place of peace, that even the broken and those that are running, that when they step in those doors, begin to pull their hearts towards Jesus. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. And now this one, we're building a spiritual house. We're almost done. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are living stones. Every single one of you. And you are being built as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Every single one of you. We're building together. I'll be here, and Kirk will be here, and if it's just us, we're going to build the house that we can build. Okay? And there's body of Christ in this area, right? That are churches that are all part, and they're building and they're building. But every stone, every one of you, is a stone in the beautiful, precious kingdom of God. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. And because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. And don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you. You. We build together a place for the presence of God to dwell. Because as the Spirit of God who's living in you and living in you and living in you and living in you come together, there is a preciousness and an ease. And lastly, bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple. And as I read that, I'm like, okay, I get it. Invite the presence of the Lord in. But what are the sacred articles? I mean, back then it was like the lampstand and the staff of Moses, and you know, they had cups and bowls used for sacrifice. I'm like, God, what are the articles? And I felt the Lord, as I was looking at that, just say the sacred articles are that which is most precious to him. And the sacred articles are his children. Guys, we invite the Lord's presence, and then we invite the sacred in. Those things that are most precious to him. His children in. Invite the Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I have seen you in the sanctuary, and I have beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. We invite the Lord every single time. We invite him in this place. If you want to know something about this church, we are always inviting the presence of the Lord in, because there is something that can only happen in the presence of God when his Spirit breathes into you and begins to highlight those things and begins to bring extra peace that you need, or begins to work on an area in your heart, or gives you power that when you walk out there, those doors, you're like, I'm endued with power on, with power from on high. And as I see that coworker that is in need of a word of encouragement, as I see that family member that needs a healing, I will be brave to reach out. Invite the Lord. And then invite that which is most sacred. His kids. His creation. The ones that he designed from the very beginning. Psalm 139 talks about breathing into... No, Genesis talks about breathing into the life of Adam. And Psalm 139 talks about knitting together each of you with such intention. To think that he does not care about his creation is foolishness. He adores, his heart is for everyone to know him as Lord and Savior, and to be reunited with him in the fellowship that once was in the garden, where they walked together at the cool of day, and they knew and they conversed and they shared friendship, and that was broken. And now he longs for that same fellowship between every single one of his creation. He did not create someone to say, well, I don't ever want to be with them again. No, he created them and gave them the opportunity and the choice to say, I want to be with you. But he's constantly longing and wooing and drawing to himself, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, all, every single one. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Invite his children in. Bring the sacred in. That doesn't necessarily mean the church building. It may mean inviting someone in for a meal in your home. It might be meeting a need and taking the invitation to share about how much Jesus loves them. But invite the sacred in. Give us eyes to see the lost. Let us care. Let us care about the things that are on God's heart. So how do we begin 2024? We commit to know the truth. We choose to obey the truth. We are strong and courageous because we know the truth and will not be sidelined or sit in fear and discouragement. We will devote our lives to seeking the Lord. We will build the sanctuary, making room for him in us individually, in our homes, our families, and here in this body. And we'll invite the sacred in because we need his presence. We need him. And if you think you can do it without him, then I think you are mistaken. Because this is a crazy world. But we have a God who has seen it before the beginning of time. And he has placed us in this very moment. And he has not forgotten us, but he has established us here that we might invite his presence and live in his presence and share his presence. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. And Lord, how you have woven and orchestrated your word into every single area. And Lord, I just pray that as we continue to walk out this year, we would not be satisfied with anything less than living in your presence. And God, I just ask that you would help us to immerse ourselves and to know the truth. Help us to stand in that truth and not be cowering in fear or discouragement. I pray that we would have devoted hearts to you, God. Lord, that we would make pathways to you, beaten down. It would not be a once in a while trip, but it would be a place we continually come to seek you. And Lord, that you would give us wisdom and insight in how to build the sanctuary in our lives and in this place, in our homes. And that our eyes would be open to see the opportunities to invite the sacred in. Bless these amazing people. Lord, give them safe travels where they go, and may your peace envelop them. Seal the things that you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen.